Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Madison Avenue, Amir, a real dyed-in-the-wool advertising agency on Madison Avenue wanted a man to come in and they pay him $95 a week and to sit in their office and to look Jewish. They wanted to prove to the outside world that they would hire minority groups, you know. So I was the one they hired, you know. I was the show Jew with the agency. I tried to look Jewish desperately, you know. I used to read my memos from right to left all the time. They fired me finally because I took off too many Jewish holidays.
Very funny, Woody. You're a real prize. You're a real advantage to the Jewish people. You know, a man like Woody Allen comes along. He debases the image of the Jewish male, and he rises to the top of the heap. Just as there was a black actor named Stephen Fetchit in the 40s who was very popular. He played a servile black male, and the American audiences loved Stepan Fetchit because it confirmed their stereotypical image of money, Stepan Fetchit, just as Woody Allen, who I call the Stepan Fetchit of the Jewish world, does. And the reason I'm talking about Woody Allen today is twofold. One, because the tragedy of the shooting at the Sikh temple I covered yesterday in great detail. It's very sad, and I don't think there's anything I can personally add to that, although we may touch upon it in the next hour on the show in another way. Last night, I knew that Woody Allen was coming here. But let me explain why I'm talking about Woody Allen and why men like him hate America. And that really is the question for the day. Why do you think Woody Allen hates America? What is it about men like Woody Allen, Sean Penn? I can even say, what's his name? The guy in Connecticut, the mogul. What's his name? I forgot the one, the fat guy in the movie business who's in Westport on the beach, Harvey Weinstein. What is it about Woody Allen, Harvey Weinstein, and Sean Penn, and so many others in Hollywood that have them hate America? Woody Allen, after all, said in the past that he'd like to leave America. He said that President Obama should be granted dictatorial powers, and he said that in an interview with a Spanish newspaper. We have it from May 17, 2010. Woody Allen had a very strange take on the democracy that allowed him to become rich and famous. The director said it would be a cool idea for President Barack Obama to be dictator for a few years. Why? So Obama could get things done without all the nasty hassle of opposing views getting in the way. I'm not making this up. In an interview published by Spanish language newspaper La Vanguardia, Woody Allen said, "I am pleased with Obama. I think he's brilliant. The Republican Party should get out of his way and stop trying to hurt him." But wait, Woody Allen went on. The director said it would be good if he could be a dictator for a few years because he could do a lot of good things quickly. Now, we'll go into this in a minute. Now, we have Sean Penn, as we speak, campaigning for the dictator of South America, Hugo Chavez. The reason I'm focused on this is because Woody Allen is on the street where I live. I live in the San Francisco area in several different dwellings. I move around, as you know. Lo and behold, I woke up the other day and I saw signs all over the street which said no parking tow-away zone from Monday night to Tuesday night. And I didn't know what it was because it wasn't from the police department. It was a private company with a phone number. I called the number and they said, well, we're shooting a movie. We're going to have movie trailers, movie trucks. And I inquired and lo and behold, it's the archetypical image of the worst man on earth. Woody Allen is shooting a movie on my street at a rental house down the block. I said, all right, it's a free country. He can do what he wants. I just said, tell him not to put the trailers in front of my house because I have to use my garage. I have to go in and out. I don't want to be inconvenienced. They were very nice. The film crew was very nice about it. They didn't know me from a hole in the wall. I was just Joe Blow Suburban. Last night, I swear to God, you listening to this? Last night, the night that the trucks are arriving, I get off the air, I go home, I kick back on my deck, I look across the bay, and it looks like a hydrogen bomb blew up in Richmond, California. A black plume that looked very much like an H-bomb or an A-bomb went off, a small one. And, of course, it was the Richmond refinery blew up. We still don't know why. They're telling us it was a glitch. I don't know. Was it sabotage? How will we ever know? We don't know with computers today. Who knows who invaded the computer system of the refinery? Nevertheless, there's a black cloud over a blue sky right in the background where Woody Allen will be filming today. So someone I know says, do you think that's God's hand trying to say that someone is coming here to besmirch the area? I said, come on, don't be silly. They're coincidental. I mean, there's nothing to do with each other. And then today, of course, they start the filming in the local paper. Oh, the liberals are throwing themselves in the street. Oh, Woody Allen. Oh, there he is in downtown Tiburon eating in the worst Italian restaurant in America. Oh, there he is with the woman that, you know, on and on and on. Now, why do liberals love this man? I'll never understand. Funny he is, yes. He is funny. Step and Fetch It was very funny. But if you were a more than any Jewish male, did not want to be treated like a neurotic fool of the type Woody Allen continuously portrayed. So Woody Allen rolls into town to film a scene for an upcoming movie. And the whole town is above. And he's with his wife, Sunyi Previn. As you well know, that's the little girl that he, well, I guess you know the story, right? That's Mia Farrow's teenage adopted daughter, Sunyi Previn, who he apparently told her and then ended up marrying her after separating from Mia Farrow. We won't go into any of that because the liberals think he's a genius. But here's the best part of it. So Woody Allen is in town. He's filming in Belvedere and Tiburon, right on my street. And his latest film stars one of the most vile-mouthed people in the history of the world, Louis C.K., and Alec Baldwin. Two of the most unpopular people in America. And what is the movie about? It's about a woman who is rich and lives in New York City. And she loses her money. She has no money. And she has to move in with poor relatives in San Francisco. You hear this? So the fool neighbors on my block who are falling all over themselves because the celebrity, Woody Allen, is there, they don't even understand that he's putting them down. That he's turning the neighborhood into a poor neighborhood, in other words, in the movie. That's neither here nor there. They asked for extras in the movie. I was not tempted. They wanted conservative-looking Marin types, 30s and their 40s, with upscale attire options, suits, dresses, etc. The crew was shooting the daytime party scene, according to a casting call. The call called for extras who, quote, had conservative-looking Marin types in their 30s and 40s with upscale attire options, suits and dresses, etc. Of course, the neighbors could not believe it, how lucky they are. One of them said, the guy is a genius. We'd love to have Woody Allen over for dinner. She said, I would imagine he might like sushi. Yeah, I would imagine he might like sushi. So I'm not going to turn this into an entire day, but I have to ask you something. Why do you think Woody Allen is so successful? Do you think it's because he's a genius or because he stereotyped Jews? And the average American likes the stereotype. And I'm going to ask, I guess I have to ask Jewish women, do you think he's done something positive or negative for the image of the Jewish male? Now I want to play Sean Penn, who is in Venezuela campaigning for the miserable dictator, Hugo Chavez. Listen to this now.
We are a country that's become increasingly gullible to the demonizing of foreign states or leaders. Chavez is a very good example. I mean, Joe Biden recently described him in a rally speech as the Venezuelan dictator. He's clearly not a dictator by any international standard.
Why would this man, this horrible man, who is a good actor, by the way, be so foolish as to say that Chavez, who everyone knows is a dictator, is not a dictator? Why does Sean Penn do this? Now, if it was in my day, and we had J. Edgar Hoover in the FBI, Sean Penn would be dragged before the House of Un-American Activities Committee, and no doubt he'd be thrown out of the country as he should have been a long time ago, in my estimation. Not because He has an opinion that differs than mine, but because he cavorts with Iranian dictator Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who wants to kill all Jews, he cavorts with the Venezuelan dictator who is in bed with Ahmadinejad and is trying to strangle America in a new alliance. How in the world could you not see this insanity? Here's a man who made his fame and fortune in America. Woody Allen makes his fame and fortune in America and says that Obama should be a dictator. Sean Penn goes to Venezuela and says he likes him, he's not a dictator. If you want to comment on any of this, and I don't know that you do, you probably want to talk about, oh, Woody, I mean, well, I almost said Woody Allen. I meant Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney wants to pick Petraeus as a vice presidential candidate, which I think would be a pretty good idea. But is that interesting to talk about? Petraeus is a social liberal, but he's a war guy, and he's good, and he's smart, paratrooper, very fit, good guy, great choice, certainly better than Yashur, Mush, Sarah Palin. He can't lose with that pick. So this will go on, and I don't know when it ends, but whatever. 1-800-449-8255. Let's take our first call. Alan, Delaware, you're up on the Savage Nation. Break the ice.
Yes, doctor, I have to say the man is a coward. He's a sheepish little dog for Hollywood. He's made his whole career laughing at himself and his little buffoonery, and he likes his little chuckles. He has no clue, not even an inkling, of what Marxism and socialism does to humanity. He's disgusting in his rhetoric.
That's how I feel. I feel that the street that I live on will never be the same because this rat is on it. And he dragged a rat like Louis C.K. onto the block, one of the most vile creatures that ever crossed the media landscape. I can't believe this. Anyway, I'll be right back.
Savage.
So you got Sean Penn praising the dictator Chavez. You have Woody Allen saying Obama should be a dictator and the Republicans should get out of his way. You've got people worshiping actors, not even understanding how dangerous some of them really are. And then we have this show called The Savage Nation, and we're talking about it, and I'm Michael Savage. I'll take your calls. Let's begin in New York City with Barbara in New York on WOR. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, how you doing? I'm Barbara, and Jewish. I'm come from Brooklyn, and I have to say that I loved Woody Allen movies. I felt he was a genius. I liked his movies when he was with Diane Keaton.
Once okay, but we're not, Barbara, it's not about his movies. How do you feel about him saying that the Republican Party should let him be a dictator?
No, no, that's terrible. That's terrible. Awful.
So how do you put the two together? That he makes funny movies where he mocks Jewish males, primarily, and yet he says that we need a dictatorship in America. Doesn't that disturb you in some way?
Of course, yes, but I've separated them. As his creative genius with his politics are separate.
That's very, very interesting. I do the same thing with actors who I despise politically.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're entertainers. And we are allowed to be entertained by fools. So well, I understand that. I understand that. That's very good. So you do get it. I hear you. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Would you like to talk about Sean Penn in Venezuela? How do you feel about Sean Penn? Let's play another Sean Penn. Let us hear Cliff 23, Beowulf.
Bien. Él es estadounidense.
Sean Penn is from the United States and a man critical of his government and of imperialism. He told me, I've heard that they've attacked Venezuela and they've attacked Chavez. And since they've lied so much to all the people of the United States, they're becoming aware that there's a great deal of lies and they want to discover the truth.
So here's a man who, let us say, during Stalin's dictatorship would have gone to Russia, as, by the way, many American liberals did, and came back and said, Mr. Stalin is not a dictator. It's a lie of the American media. There is no gulag. He's a wonderful man, and he's making Russia a better place, and I've done my research. That's what Sean Penn is doing. I don't understand how anybody could ever patronize that vile creature's art. I don't care how good an actor you may think he is. I think you need to vote with your pocketbook, frankly. It's unbelievable to me that he gets away with this. This is no longer opinion. He is dancing with the enemy, by the way. Chavez is one of the most dangerous men that has ever appeared in South American history, incidentally. if you want to talk about Petraeus as a VP candidate, I think that's a good topic. I think that's quite good. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Mississippi, of all places. Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Savage, it's good talking to you. What I wanted to say is this. I heard somewhere a government who fears the people is a democracy. The people who fear the government is a tyranny. And that is what's happening in Venezuela. There's a total
tyranny. Yeah, it's very true. That's right. The people fear that pineapple head, don't they?
Correct. And as long as that keeps happening, we cannot have a democracy like it should be. Now, let me tell you something. Just last month, President Chavez, or whatever you want to call it, Dictator Chavez, decided to close the voting precincts in Miami. So anybody in Florida that wants to vote in the upcoming Venezuelan elections have to drive to New Orleans, Louisiana. How do you like that?
Because he knows that many of the conservative people, meaning the business owners, fled Venezuela when he seized power. We know that. The entire middle class ran out of that country. Isn't it true?
Correct. So, I mean...
And by the way, he's very similar in his politics to Fidel Castro. He's modeled his country's future on that of Fidel Castro. He has courted Cuba. He had one point, Chavez courted Saddam Hussein's Iraq. He courted the strongman of Libya. He's now courting the dictator Jew hater of Iran. The fact of the matter is the man has sweeping powers. He rules by dictatorship. He has taken over the media. He used legal channels to close down dissident television and radio networks. And yet Sean Penn, who could not survive one day without freedom of expression, goes there to campaign for him. How is that possible?
Well, I mean, it's because luckily in America we got freedom of expression. And Sean
I understand that. But how do people in America who go to Sean Penn's movies not understand that he is supporting a murderous dictator? How do they not get it?
I don't understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. Change is going to be coming to Venezuela on the positive.
I hope so. I hope that the end is similar to that of Mussolini in Italy prior to the end of World War II, because this man has destroyed a fabulous nation. And by the way, I'll tell you more about it in a minute.
Savage.
All right, welcome. Look, maybe you're not interested in this topic. You know, Petraeus, is it a good choice? I can go just do meat and potatoes talk radio. To me, Sean Penn thanking Hugo Chavez is unbelievable to me. He is a very wealthy, Oscar-winning one percenter, elitist, fraudulent celebrity, pals around with a socialist dictator, creeperoo like Chavez. The socialist ideology espoused by Chavez and Obama, by the way, would target the wealthy hypocrite Sean Penn for confiscation if he actually lived under the dictator's control. And incidentally, Obama's not too far away from Chavez philosophically, by the way. Calvin Coolidge, former American president, you may not remember the name, said, "The business of America is business." You might say Barack Obama's logo is, "Your business is my business," meaning I own it. And yet these Hollywood stars, what is it that, are they actually stupid? You know, by the way, it's not that hard to win an Oscar these days. All you have to do is have a half-decent film crew and put down conservative values. If you push the Marxist line, you get a Nobel Prize to go with it. It's unbelievable to me. Chavez, Sean Payne. I gave him a new name, Sean Payne. I'm changing his name from Sean Penn. If you ever refer to him on my show again, which will be very, very rarely, his new name is Sean Payne. The little creep is a good actor, but he's a pain in America's neck. And I won't watch any of his movies anymore. Frankly, I think his deceased brother was a better actor. I liked him better. The heavy set guy, the big guy. I forget his name. Chris Penn. He was in a movie called Salvador. He was great in that movie where he goes down there in the Mustang. 1-800-449-8255, Michael. I don't feel great today after the killing and the shooting. I got a headache from it. I couldn't sleep last night. I don't know. I went to a... Are you going to laugh? I know you're going to think this is preposterous. I covered the shooting, the Sikh shooting the other day. I know you laugh. I went to an Indian restaurant last night because I know the owner who's a Sikh. And I said, what does one thing have to do with the other? Aren't you trivializing? And I said, not really. I mean, I don't know a lot of Sikh people, but I went in the kitchen with him and I said, it's a terrible tragedy. But being the type of person he is, he said, it's a terrible thing. I don't really understand it. It doesn't make any sense. And one of his coworkers, who is not Sikh but is a Hindu, said, this is what happens with godless people, meaning the shooter. And what can you say about it? So I drank too much beer. I ate too much spicy meat. They had a new waiter who put white pepper on a salad. Can you believe it? I know it's a side note. It's not. It's crazy. I asked for a green salad to go with the heavy meat, and the new waiter from India didn't speak English. He brought out lettuce, and I eat onions, and I took a bite. My ears, my eyelids, my nostrils started to itch. They put like a burning white hot pepper. I was up all night like with my back on fire. It was one of the just that things didn't work out. Then the Richmond fire. Then Woody Allen's trucks arrived at midnight with beeping and headlights and people cursing in the streets. Strange. It's weird. Just a weird like confluence of odd events. It's a strange time, I'm telling you. Things are not stable in the world right now, and you can feel it on a very local level. In a million years, in a thousand million years, I would never believe Woody Allen would film on my block. It has nothing to do with me. Nothing. But why? How did this happen? How did I get blighted with a Richmond refinery explosion, and then hours later, Woody Allen shows up I don't understand. It's crazy. It's crazy. The whole thing's nuts. Thank God I have my dog. Thank God I have my dog. 1-800-449-8255. Lick me in the ear on the way up. When I go to a certain house, these dogs are so smart. He's very aloof, like a little poodle can be. But when he gets happy, he starts to get kissy. But I'm driving. I have no defense. My right hand is on the wheel. My left hand's on the wheel. He leans forward and licks right in my ear. I say, what are you, crazy? Your dirty tongue in my ear? Yuck. But, I mean, they go right in the, they know where to go. What are you going to do? Yeah, why is Mars not a bigger story? Because it shows America in a positive light. One of the greatest feats of technological expertise in the history of the world. We land rover on Mars. Certainly not the Land Rover, but the rover mission. The worst car ever made was the rover. The original rover was the worst car ever made. I remember buying one when I lived in New York to drive up to Boston. I was at the Botanical Museum at Harvard University, where my collection still exists, incidentally. My plant collection. So I don't know. I was still like into being the explorer for the jungles. I bought a used rover on Queens Boulevard in New York from a shyster auto dealer. I remember his name, Mr. W. Little diminutive Austrian-looking fellow. He sold foreign cars, and he wore like a suit and tie. He looked like a character out of a 40s movie. A crook, the worst kind of crook. The type who would put banana peels inside the transmission, which I think he did. So I buy the Rover. I get in the car with my wife and my young son. I don't know what year it was. I don't know, 79, 80. I can't remember. No, 75, I think. I drove exactly like 50 miles. I'm in Connecticut. The transmission fell out of the bottom of the car. The Rover I bought. The grinding sound was one of the worst sounds I ever heard. I had to get off in New Haven and put my family on a train to Boston. I had to call a tow truck and have it towed. So I don't like Rovers personally. I mean, the new Range Rover is a different car. The seats are like from hunger. You got to have the seats thrown out. If you buy a Rover, they're nice cars, but you have to throw the seats in the river. What is with the British and hard seats? It's something to do with their anal retentiveness. Something. They like hard bench seats. Nothing soft in a British car. I don't understand. The Germans, at least, they make a soft seat. The Mercedes has a seat like a sofa in it. I love it. But look, I don't know. It's a crazy day. It's a crazy day. I have to go out in the bay. I've been off the bay for too long. I think the problem is I haven't been in the water. I once knew a pilot years ago who said to me that his wife tells him he gets cranky if he doesn't fly. I start to think that that's like me with boating. I haven't been on a boat now in 3 weeks. I went to Florida. I wasn't on a boat. I've come back. I wasn't on a boat. I need to get on the bay. It mellows me out. It's like a fourth dimension. 1-800-449-8255. I got callers now. I got you steamed up. No, you're calling about all the different things. But I think we've exhausted these topics, right? How about something exciting like a soundbite from Ben Bernanke? Can you imagine a more boring man in the world? Ben Bernanke, God in heaven. There's a guy, when he leaves the Obama administration, going to have no job whatsoever, no job prospects on the election circuit. And now, ladies and gentlemen, appearing at the Carnegie Hall, Ben Bernanke on the economy. But why don't you play clip three? Let's hear him for a minute.
Following the growing literature, I define happiness as a short-term state of awareness that depends on a person's perceptions of one's immediate reality, as well as on immediate external circumstances and outcomes.
Stop. This man is managing our economy. He has no idea what he just said. This is a man speaking to an International Association for Research in Income and Wealth conference, and he makes a statement nobody understands. He doesn't even understand it. Who writes this? All right. Secretary Clinton dances in Malawi. Let's hear her dancing. Let's hear clip four.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Now, can I put one on like you have over there?
All right, Verena, turn it off. She's getting it on with the tribal women in Malawi. Great. She says it takes a village, right? Hillary Clinton. Maybe they'll take her in. You think maybe they'll adopt her? Please, take my Secretary of State, please. Let's see what else is next. Nancy Pelosi. This is so vile and vulgar. It's worth playing. You got to listen to clip six.
As a mom, I was vigilant about food safety, right, moms? I mean, if you could depend on the government for one thing, it was about you had to be able to trust the water that our kids drank and the food that they ate. But this is the E. coli club. They do not want to spend money to do that.
Nancy Pelosi calls the Republicans the E. coli club. Now, I need to remind you that E. coli is found in fecal matter. And here is a woman who was former Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States of America referring to the opposition party as in the equivalent of fecal matter. This is Nancy Pelosi's mind. This is what almost had her finger on the nuclear trigger. And here's a man you probably have forgot about, John Boehner. Remember him? Remember John Boehner, the guy who smokes a lot with a pink tie? Let's listen to him in clip nine.
The president's policies have failed. Listen, 93% of Americans believe they're part of the middle class. That's why you hear the president talking
sold
about the middle
American.
Class.
Sold American. Next case. Sold American. Now, he could have a career after politics. He could go on the lecture circuit, and he could advertise for Lucky Strike. He could go on a nice tour. Now, Senator McCain has always been an embarrassment, as we all know, going back to his military days when he pressed the wrong button on his airplane and fired a rocket into another plane and almost blew a ship up. I mean, he did it. McCain has always been prone to accidents. I respect that he survived 5 years in the Hanoi Hilton. Nobody should take that away from him. But the man has always been an erratic nut, right? And here's McCain going on about Harry Reid, who's lying about Romney, and the most McCain the lunatic can say. Well, listen to clip 10.
First of all, I've known Senator Reid for many, many years, and occasionally he displays some rather erratic behavior to accuse someone of doing something without a shred of proof that the allegation has any substance is really something I frankly don't understand. Politics are tough, and I enjoy the give and take, but I think Harry might have gone over the line here.
That's the best he can say? Senator McCain, the most he can say about Harry Reid, who makes things up, lies about Romney, a vile man whose son is representing a Chinese solar firm. It's unbelievable to me. The most that this rhino, McCain, can say about Harry Reid is that he may have gone over the line here. This is what we have in the Republican Club. And at the same time, the geniuses at NASA land the rover mission on Mars. Do you have any idea what this is? Do you have any idea what this means? Let's hear clip 11 just for the minute.
And liftoff of the Atlas V with Curiosity.
8 months after liftoff and 154 million miles from Earth, NASA stuck the landing. The one-ton rover called Curiosity now sits inside a crater on the planet Mars, already sending back some of its first images and ready to conduct scientific tests over the next 2 years about the viability of life.
Go explain that to an illegal alien who doesn't speak English or to someone who listens to rap music and speaks 50 words of English. Go explain to them what it took to land the rover on Mars. Go explain that to them. If we had a president who loved America, who was truly the leader of America, the man would have been celebrating landing rover on Mars. So ask yourself why Obama said hardly a word. The answer is because it's too American. It makes us feel good. This man hates the country. He most particularly hates NASA. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So we're talking about various and sundry Hollywood idiots. We're talking about Sean Penn basically pimping for a dictator in South America and coming back here. I mean, it's an amazing world that we live in. And, of course, you have the opportunity not to go to their movies, and that's the way it should be, so we can move on. And also the Mars rover thing, which is an astonishing accomplishment. And, you know, the real question is, why has Obama not mentioned it? If we had a president who took pride in America, wouldn't you think he would have given a press conference and had the NASA engineers, the lead engineers, up on the platform with him instead of a rap star or some other degenerate from Hollywood? Why does Obama not love America? Why does he disrespect NASA like this? What do you think is the psychology of Obama ignoring Mars landing successfully, the Mars landing that is so successful? It doesn't. It's astonishing, actually, when you think about it. Fabulous, fabulous topic. Do we have the moon thing, Beowulf? I'd love to hear it if we do. The ignition? The ignition is the one I want. So, what do you want to talk about? Petraeus? Let's take the callers. Let's go to Virginia. Angela, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I think the reason that Sean Penn is doing all of these things is because he is a has-been. What is the last movie he has been in, and the only way he can get publicity is to make news by being controversial.
But he calls himself a journalist on top of it all, which unto itself is astonishing. I don't know how journalists aren't offended by that. I mean, it's amazing to me.
I was going to say, it's quite offensive that he does that. He has not had a decent movie in years.
Well, but they've given him an Academy Award recently, right, for a couple of movies, and that's because of his Marxism and his America bashing.
Right.
That's all you basically need to win either a Pulitzer, an Academy, or a Nobel. Is the bigger the hatred, the bigger the award.
Correct.
It's shocking. I mean, the whole world's upside down. All right, I think we've exhausted this. 1-800-449-8. Where is the president on the moon landing? I mean, on the Mars landing. Where is he? All right. See, here's what worries me about Chavez and why I'm even trying to talk with you about it. The man is a dictator, okay? And he is mimicking some of the world's most ruthless and brutal tyrants. I want you to compare Chavez with the worst of the worst in recent memory. He's not there yet. Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe, al-Bashir of Sudan, Kambanda of Rwanda, and Robert Mugabe in particular. Zimbabwe used to be Rhodesia. The plague of Zimbabwe has occurred over the last 30 years since Mugabe seized power. In 2000, he began a radical policy of dispossessing white farmers of their farms. And that brought about the collapse of what had once been a food exporting nation. That's what Mugabe did. Now it's a food importing nation. Chavez is essentially following the same practice. He's stolen more than 6 million acres from private farmers along the lines of what Stalin did, and he calls the farmers oligarchs, but they're really political dissidents and capitalists. And today, Venezuela and Zimbabwe both import about two-thirds of the food that they consume. And how, this is very important for you to hear. I know it's hard for you to listen to. How does Mugabe enforce these economic edicts? He uses militias called the Green Bombers, which terrorize dissidents and loot grocery stores. They loot butcher shops. They loot farms. They loot factories. And they loot commercial businesses. In Venezuela, Chavez has the equivalent in the form of the Bolivarian circles. And they enjoy police immunity. They enjoy judicial immunity. They're given employment in military and police organizations that report only to Chavez, and their practices that have pillaging as a state policy. Right? What does that have to do with Obama? I'll tell you what chills me. Obama wants to create a private national security force that will report only to him. I want you to listen to this very carefully. This is what he has in mind for the second term. Do you have that, Beowulf, the Obama thing? Let's play.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
He's calling for an SA. He is calling for a fascistic police force that reports only to him. I don't for the life of me understand why Romney doesn't take this soundbite and play it and demand that Obama answer. Instead of saying, I paid my taxes like a schmuck, I really paid my taxes. He's fallen right into the trap that Obama's brain laid for him. Obama's brain, whatever his name is, the guy from Chicago, Axelrod, has Romney playing defense. All Romney has to do is play this soundbite and say, Mr. Obama, what do you mean by a private national security force? Should we be worried? That could be the end of the election. And you know Romney isn't going to do this any more than McCain took my book title when I offered it to him of Trickle Up Poverty. He wouldn't do it. And the problem here is the professional political class. They're all one and the same. It is a private club. Only they belong to it, and we the people are not allowed in. We're rarely allowed to even see them inside the dining room, let alone enter the dining room and have dinner with them. We are at the back of the bus. The political class, both Republican and Democrat, is a very, very private club where 400 oligarchs rule 350 million of us serfs. And if we dare say a word, somehow a ton of bricks comes down upon our head. Yes, we the people are afraid of the government. By definition, this is a dictatorship.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Firing chain is armed.
15.
Go for main engine start. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff. The final liftoff of Atlantis. On the shoulders of the space shuttle, America will continue the dream.
Program Houston.
Roger, Atlantis.
Houston now controlling the flight of Atlantis. The space shuttle spreads its wings one final time for the start of a sentimental journey into history. 24 seconds into the flight, roll program complete. Atlantis now heads down, wings level on the proper alignment for its 8.5-minute ride to orbit. 4.5 million pounds of hardware and humans taking aim on the International Space Station. 40 seconds into the flight, the three liquid fuel main engines throttling back to 72% of rated performance in the bucket, reducing stress on the shuttle as it goes transonic for the final time.
I don't know about you, but as an American, I am so proud of the engineers at NASA. I am so sad, almost to the point of tears, that we have such a hateful, anti-American in the White House that he wouldn't even utter a word of congratulations to the engineers and scientists who put the landing successfully on Mars the other day. If anything typifies and symbolizes the anti-Americanism of the communist, Marxist, anarchist, socialist in the White House, it is the fact that he ignored this great achievement. And you have to ask yourself, and this could tell you so much, why has Obama ignored this great success? Think about what I'm saying to you. One of the greatest successes of America, ignored by the man who leads the free world. Why? Is he threatened by the genius of the scientists and engineers? Probably. Is he offended by the fact that we are still dominant in space with regard to this landing on Mars? Yes. But there's more to it. There's an entire psychology here that a psychiatrist who also is literate would be able to articulate far better than I. But something is so wrong with Obama that he would not even utter a word of congratulations that that's astonishing to me. But I myself am so proud of the scientists and engineers at NASA, I've got to tell you. And at the same time, I'm sickened by the presidency. What's even worse is that the media lets this man get away with this. Can you imagine what this country would be like if we had a real American in the White House? A genuine American who had real sympathies with America's greatness, America's exceptionalism on a day like yesterday? Can you imagine a president who would have held a press conference in the midst of a campaign, and he would have had all the engineers and scientists, the lead scientists and engineers from NASA, up on the platform with him? What was he afraid of, that they were too white? Was he afraid that they didn't look like the diversity booklets at Harvard and Yale and Princeton? Was he afraid that they didn't look like the stacked, oh, don't get me started, it gets me sick. It gets me sick. Something's wrong with this whole picture. But now we have to ask ourselves another question. Why has Romney said nothing about this NASA victory? What is wrong with that man? What the heck is wrong with that man that all he does is go, I paid the taxes. I paid the taxes. What's wrong with this man? Why is he running such a weak campaign? Why is he running such a meek campaign? How can we have faith in a man who has no spine? That's what we're all asking. I know you don't want me to say it. You're saying, shh, don't undermine him. Shh, we got to beat Obama. Yeah, I know all of that. But what is this guy, a corpse? Is Romney some kind of corpse at a funeral? Or is he a candidate who wants to take back America and express the gratitude that we all have for the greatness of this country? That's what I'd like to talk about, but there's no point in doing it. So what I will do instead is open it up to you, the listener. Any topic, really, it's open mic to mic, and early, you know, early Friday if you want. Is Romney a corpse or a candidate? Why has Obama not talked about the Mars landing? 1-800-449-8255. Las Vegas, Dave, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, you hit the nail on the head once again. This election is going to, we're going to vote for the corpse. The corpse of Romney, we know, we get it, just like you just said. The issue is we've got to work on these Democrats who think that the Kennedy Democrat of old is this Obama Democrat of today, and they're completely different. Kennedy, who stands up in his inauguration speech and says, ask not what you do for your country, we know the speech, and then also says, I want to get to the moon by the end of this decade, is not the great society Democrat that wants to expound government, the Marxist-Leninist type of
absolutely
Democrat.
John F. Kennedy, as I've said for years, would, if he were alive today and running for office, would be running as a conservative. John F. Kennedy and the Democrats of that day would be considered a conservative party. Obama is a naked Marxist, as I have articulated for years, both on this radio program, trickle up poverty, trickle down tyranny. There's only so much a man can say, but what more do I need to say than we have a successful landing on Mars, which has to be one of the greatest feats in American science and engineering in world history, and the president ignores it? Why?
Don't know. Can only tell you this. On the social media out there, the Facebook, a lot of people posted up how proud we were of this country. And you know what? It's almost kind of a interesting thing. Thank goodness he almost didn't do it. A real president would have. But had he done it, he might have just soared in the polls 5%. simply because it's the kind of thing that this country needs to rally around. These are the types of events.
So what is it that he's afraid of? What has his brain, what has Obama's brain, Axelrod, thought? What has he told Obama as to the NASA mission? Why has he said don't talk about it? This is a fabulous question as far as I'm concerned. I pretty much know the answer. New York, WOR, Joe, why do you think Obama refuses to acknowledge the genius of NASA?
Okay, the bottom line is this. Anything to give the American people any kind of pride, he's not going to do it. Anything to give us a sense of, like, that we're the best at anything, he's not going to do it.
You're right. You're right, but there's got to be some psychological warp in Obama's personality for him to not understand that we, the people, see something wrong with him in not extolling the genius of the scientists and engineers. Why is he not doing this?
Because he doesn't want the American people to have any pride in their country. He wants to take it away.
You know something? I tend to agree with you. I think it's why belabor it? Why belabor this? Why belabor it? He wants to beat us up and wear us down and turn us into welfare recipient deadbeat bums where everybody's a victim and everybody's a bum and a victim that needs the big brother to protect them. Maybe that's it. I'll be back.
Savage.
All right, I've made my point. I've screamed from the bottom of my heart. No one seems to hear a word I say anymore. I don't quite understand the country I'm living in, that the President of the United States of America would ignore the Mars rover landing is perhaps the clearest example of the man's contempt for this nation and its greatness. And that's all I have to say about it. Now let's turn to the New York Times. Listen to this story today. Outside group begins $25 million anti-Obama ad run. The swing state campaign from the conservative Americans for Prosperity, financed by the Koch brothers, shows the power in this election of a small number of wealthy donors. What? You mean Ratzenberg are not a small number of wealthy donors? You mean the Hollywood billionaires? You mean the people that he feeds with, eats with, drinks with, every day of the week are not a small number of wealthy donors to the Democrat Party, New York Times? But again, they demonize the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, the Tea Party organization backed by the Koch brothers, is set to begin a $25 million advertising assault aimed at President Obama, wealthy donors shaping the presidential campaign. No mention, of course, of the liberal billionaires who are supporting Obama and what they get out of it. No mention of the billions of dollars that have been stolen from the Treasury by the backers of Obama way back when. Instead, only about those who no longer want to live in a Marxist economy. 1-800, you can't talk about this. There's nothing to say. Let's see what else is in the media. I don't know. The New York Times is kind of boring these days. The agenda, how to parse climate change and extreme weather. They're still into that. Climate change. And it used to be global warming. It became climate change. Now it's extreme weather. They don't know what to call it anymore. Wisconsin killer was fueled by hate. So did they call for banning heavy metal music off a cop, kill a pig, rape a woman? That's not hate music. So, you see, I guess they can't say ban the music that fed this lunatic, because if they do, then they trip over their own words and they realize they have to ban only a Harvey Weinstein could invite them to his house. So we're not calling for censorship of any kind, as you well know. And that's it. That's the world we live in. According to the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, they have been routinely monitoring violent extremist websites of all kinds, mainly those attracting white supremacists, certainly not those attracting black supremacists, such as Louis Farrakhan, or brown supremacists, such as those who are members of La Raza or La Mecha. No, Only one, and you wonder why people are going crazy in this country. What would you like to talk about? Why is Obama ignoring and disrespecting NASA is a real big question. Joe in Sacramento, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, the reason why he doesn't want to surround himself with NASA people in their white lab coats is because he can't take credit for it.
Well, he was actually the one who eviscerated NASA and ended the shuttle.
Exactly, and that's exactly why he doesn't want to bring more attention to it. He's defunding them.
Yeah, but this is a victory for all of America. He could certainly bask in their success, couldn't he?
I just don't think he's worried about all of America. I think he's worried about the people that he's catering to, and that's it.
So you think that the deadbeat welfare recipients and other losers would be offended by NASA's success if Obama glorified them?
I don't think that that pertains to them at all. I think the only thing they're worried about is where is their next check coming from? When do they get their next food stamps? And what else can I get from the government?
So in other words, if he would surround himself with these scientists and engineers who landed this successfully on Mars, this, the rover mission, right? What would happen is, you mean the welfare recipients would be offended by it? Because it would show that Obama is kind of cavorting with the enemy? Is that it? That we don't need any space missions anymore?
I don't think that that pertains to them. I think the only thing they see is what's in front of them today, not what's going to happen down the road at all. I don't think that they see how this benefits them.
I see. So it's not about the government cheese, therefore.
Exactly. Where's my
block? There's no government cheese. There's no interest from Obama. Well, yeah, this is a very sad day in America to believe that we have a president who is so anti-American that he would not even mention this. Doug in Houston, your opinion, why is Obama disrespecting NASA and his great victory?
I think it's more base than that even. It's just a throwback to Chicago politics. It's to punish places like Georgia and especially Houston, Texas, where, we don't want to bring out anything positive from somewhere like Houston, Texas that's been so against the Obama administration. I mean, a good example in a similar vein was in 2010, we had some of the worst, Texas had some of the worst wildfires ever, but they refused to call it a national emergency.
Oh, because that way you'd have to send federal money. So in other words, he thinks that this would give Texas too much pride?
I think that.
Unbelievable. I think it's deeper than that, personally. I think it's because he hates America. He resents America. And I also think there's a psychological warp inside Obama's brain that has him envious of the geniuses at NASA, because we still don't know what his grades were at Columbia. In fact, we don't really know that he went to Columbia. There's a whole article out now from somebody who allegedly attended Columbia when he did, who doesn't remember him. He said he was at Columbia Law the same years that Obama was there, but he doesn't ever remember meeting a man named Obama. And there are others who were there who say they don't think he ever went to Columbia, which is why Obama will not release his college transcripts. And frankly, this is another failure of Romney and his campaign. He should be hammering Obama and his college transcripts, saying, Mr. Obama, there are many questions about your college experience. How did you get into Columbia? How did you get into Harvard? We'd like you to release your grades and your transcripts. And yet he won't do it. So there's something very, very smoky about it. And where there's smoke, there's fire. Something is very, very wrong. But to me, the envy of Obama of the scientists and engineers who put this mission on Mars is so apparent that I think it explains it, by the way. I think it explains it. I think that he's actually envious of the men and women, possibly. I don't know how many women were involved, but the men and women, let's say, the scientists and engineers. 1-800-449-8255. School policy forces students to take pregnancy tests. Child car seat rules mostly ignored, study finds. Grapefruit juice shown to boost drugs' anti-cancer properties. If you'd like me to do some lifestyle or other questions, I'm open for business. By the way, this is August 7th. It is an anniversary of a dark day in American history and world history. And yet, for some, it meant life, not death. And that was the bombing of Hiroshima. Was Japan not bombed, many of you wouldn't be here, because your fathers or grandfathers, rather, would have died taking the home islands.
Seven.
The subject's not moving. We're encroaching upon him. He's not moving.
Ambulance up! Subject down! Tell the officers down! Bring the ambulance!
85 desk.
Scott!
We have one officer shot.
Deceased.
43, Ralph.
Franklin Dispatch, squad 7512 South Howell Avenue. Subject with a gun, balding, white t-shirt. Officer down.
At some point, you question where can you really feel safe. Every time I go to Temple, I'm going to think of this. And it's so unfortunate that that's the case. I have to think of a tragedy as opposed to being able to focus my thoughts on God and loving my community and loving people. But, you know, you hope you can, you obviously need to still do it. But we also have to prevent this hate from also infiltrating it.
Why is there such a cluster of insane shootings in America under Obama? I think the question answers itself to a certain extent. I think that race relations are worse today than they ever have been in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like this. We know that the Democrat Party itself is a party that thrives on, let us say, dissension between peoples. We certainly know that Obama and his minions are conducting class warfare in America, pitting poor against rich, the middle class against the poor, the middle class against the rich. We know that the Obama machine wants blacks to resent whites, whites to resent blacks, Hispanics to resent black. It just doesn't end. We know that we have the most divisive administration in modern American history. I don't know of one that's been more divisive. Can we blame Axelrod? No. Can we blame Obama? No. You can blame anybody you want. The fact of the matter is there was a madman, a racist white male madman, who shot up a Sikh temple, and people are dead. If you're a member of the United States Sikh community, what do you want to say to America is the real question. And who do you think is most to blame for the recent spate of mass shootings in America? And while you're at it, will someone answer this question, please? Can someone stand up in the audience and tell me why the media has immediately, well, almost immediately brushed aside the Fort Hood massacre conducted by the Muslim major Nidal Hassan, and as near as 2 weeks ago brushed aside the finding that the FBI knew that the Muslim major Nidal Hassan was a madman and a ticking time bomb about to go off? Can you tell me why Wolf Blitzer and the other vermin in the media completely pushed aside and still to this day do not refer to the Fort Hood massacre with any consideration? Moreover, why do you think the anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-American Southern Poverty Law Center has suddenly inserted itself into this tragedy? Who is the Southern Poverty Law Center? We're going to look into them and ask ourselves, have they anything to do with the militarization of individuals in this country simply by picking on white males? We have many other questions. We should talk about the Sikh people. I can't say I'm an expert, but anyone who does a search will find out that the Sikhs are more or less an offshoot of the Hindu faith, not the Muslim faith, not that it should matter. This madman obviously thought he was killing foreigners. He didn't care who they were. For him, it could have been Jews just as well. And I have a question for the audience that I think is very important. And that goes to Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and any other minority sect in religion in America. Would you object to having armed security guards at your house of worship? I have for years have been trying to get some Jewish people that I know to have armed security guards, and they live in a glass house of absurdity. Oh, it won't happen. Oh, don't worry. Oh, Hashem will protect me. They don't listen to reality. They don't know what reality they're in. There should be armed guards inside Jewish temples and outside. Some have them, by the way. Hindus should have armed guards. Muslims should have armed guards. And by the way, not American military, not American police paid for by taxpayers, but paid for by the congregation. Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, I recommend that you have armed security guards, private armed security guards. both inside and outside your houses of worship, because I think it's going to get worse than it's ever been. Now, if you want to talk about the Sikh temple shooting in any manner, you can do so. I'm quite surprised that various individuals who I admire in the media are calling him an army vet, as if to smear the army and if to imply that he and the army had something to do with it. I mean, he was kicked out of the army 14 years ago. That's like saying Sikh Shooter was a milk drinker. Sikh Shooter got a haircut. Sikh Shooter was tattooed. That has as much relevance as him having been kicked out of the army 14 years ago. Would you object to having armed security guards within your house of worship, especially if you're a member of a minority religion? I certainly wouldn't. In fact, I thought it's long overdue. I have no idea why houses of worship, especially in minorities, are not armed to the teeth. I don't understand it. Moreover, the media, of course, has tried to make Sikhs into Muslims, which they're not, which, you know, is neither here nor there in some way. The racist madman thought that Sikhs were Muslims, not that it would have been less of a tragedy had he done it in a Muslim house of worship, obviously. Would have been the same tragedy, okay? But this lunatic didn't care and would have shot any minority in a temple with a turban or a skull cap or a beard if he could have. So he was a racist who chose the Sikhs. But right now there are dead people who are innocent, who had nothing at all to do with politics so far as I know. And here they were picked on by a maniac guy who went in the military, was thrown out of the military. Yes, he's a white male. And the man who saved all the other Sikhs was a white male. Policeman who took 8 bullets. Is CNN reporting on the policeman from Brooklyn, New York, who was living in that community in Wisconsin, who took the 8 bullets? Of course not. All they're reporting on is the white man who shot the Sikhs, not the white man who protected the other Sikhs, the man who took 8 bullets. By the way, they're amongst the most peaceful people I've ever met in the world, the Sikh people, and I've known a few. Yes, I have. I don't go into a big detail now, but peace-loving people, innocent people, good people, never an evil word comes out of their mouth. Good people. Why them, you ask yourself, why? Well, I don't have an answer for why. All we know is that we're living with more and more of these types of random madmen going crazy and shooting. You could say it's drugs. You could just as soon blame the pharmaceutical industry. You could just as soon blame the medical establishment as you could blame the administration for dividing races. There's enough blame to go around in our society today. You don't know where to put your finger in a dike right now. This dike is broken. The dike of civility is gone.
The subject's not moving. We're encroaching upon him. He's not moving.
Ambulance
up! Subject down! Officers down! Bring the ambulance!
85 Desk.
Scott!
We have one officer shot.
Deceased.
43, Ralph.
Franklin Dispatch, squad 7512 South Howell Avenue. Subject with a gun, balding, white t-shirt. Officer down.
We can say that he was in the military. 1992 to 1998, he had a general discharge, and that he was ineligible for reenlistment. I want to make it perfectly clear. Right now, he is the only shooter that was involved.
Savage.
Welcome back to this Savage Nation. Hopefully when I get home tonight after the radio show, the Woody Allen hydrocarbon parade will be gone from my street. The Woody Allen hydrocarbon parade. Yeah, all the greens. You should have seen the size of the movie trucks. So far as I know, they were not running on banana peels. They were running on good old diesel of the type I use in my boat. But, you know, don't tell that to the greenies. But why is Obama ignoring this great victory is the question. There's a psychological answer for it. There's a political answer for it. A real American president would have had a press conference. He would have had the engineers from NASA up there. He would have had the American flag. The American people would have felt so good to have a real American in the White House, but we don't. There's something wrong here. Dallas, Texas, Mike, why do you think Obama is ignoring this great success of NASA?
Mike, it's obvious. You can BS your way into the White House, but you can't BS your way to the surface of Mars.
Well put from a Texan. You can fake your way into the presidency, but you can't fake your way to Mars. I think that says... Oh, yeah, the land of the free and the home of the brave, the land of the Alamo. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny because I think you already know that book. I'm pretty sure. That's amazing. That says it all. That really does say it all. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I have a similar gripe to yours when you say that, am I the only one that sees what's going on? I'm bombarded daily by my conservative friends with emails and videos of Obama's past from 20, 25 years ago, how he changed his name to Sotero, and his dad was a member of the African National, this or that. And I my point is, you need to look no further than what he did today or yesterday or who he had dinner with or who he's divorcing with or his latest.
Yeah, right. I don't care about the birth certificate or the fact that he faked his way into Columbia or Harvard. He's faking his way through the presidency, and that's the issue.
It is such a distraction, it's almost as if it were by design.
You mean a distraction to focus on the past rather than the present?
Yeah. Every day there's material. Just to pick something, there's a very aggressive campaign right now to sign people up for food stamps and Social Security disability insurance.
Oh, yeah. They even have a USDA office in Mexico trying to get illegal aliens to get some food stamps down there.
Yeah, we are being torn apart, and it goes unreported. And
Neolithic frankly, invasion, there's no question about it. Neolithic invasion, there's no question about it.
Yeah, conservatives are dwelling on the fact that he ate dog in 1978.
No, I understand it's very adolescent. It's almost childish, and it distracts us from what he's doing today. Every time I see an Obama bumper sticker, I get enraged. I feel like rolling my window down and starting to say, Solyndra, $1 trillion missing in loans. I want to go down the list, but then I say it's a free country and they're entitled to their ignorance. There's nothing more I can do. Thank God I have the freedom that I do on the radio, and they have the freedom to live in a dream world thinking Obama's an honest man who is for the poor. There's no question about that. I blame Romney, though, because Romney should be articulating these issues for us. It's not up to me to do it. It's not up to you to do it. It's up to Romney to do it. I don't think he's doing a very good job, incidentally. And yes, I will vote. I will vote for Mr. Check Pants. Okay? Chicago, Donald, you're on the Savage Nation on the Mars issue.
The Mars project was started, funded, and planned years ago, and so Obama couldn't defund it. So he's going to be embarrassed that it was a success because he's defunded NASA. So I think he would have talked about it on the radio or in the media if it had been a failure, because then he could say, well, see, all this $2.5 billion they spent on this vehicle could have gone to help the poor and the needy and whatever. So
yeah.
he can't hone up to a success because he wanted it to be a failure.
Right. Well, he doesn't understand, because he obviously is a science illiterate, that many of the inventions and discoveries that we have today are a direct result of space exploration. And so far as I know, all the investment in welfare has produced nothing in terms of technology or advancing the human condition. The trillions of dollars that have been spent on welfare since I have been living have produced not one invention, not one discovery, not one advancement for humankind, while the opposite is true for space exploration. That's it. Can anyone name one advancement that has occurred as a result of so-called social spending on welfare? Can anyone tell me of a discovery or of a product or a service that somebody on the planet has benefited from as a result of social spending in the form of welfare? I don't know of any. And I'm a former social worker, incidentally. I am not saying starve the poor, but I am saying there's a limit to how much you can do for people who are unable to help themselves. And I'm also a firm believer in giving a person a fishing rod, not a fish. I learned that a very long time ago from a Chinese billionaire when I was a young graduate student. He was interested in botany. It's a long story. And I somehow got to be his tour guide in Hawaii at the time. And I remember I was desperate for him to give me a grant so I could continue my research, honestly. Would have been nice to get a, you know, a golden handout like that. And he was a very nice, distinguished Chinese gentleman. And when he left Honolulu, he left me with one line. He said, it's better to give a man a fishing rod than a fish. He, it was his way of saying to me, I'm not giving you a dime. You know what I'm saying? Figure it out on your own. And it actually was very good advice, and he did me a favor. Otherwise, I would have been another academic welfare recipient. Because as far as I can tell, most people in academia are on welfare. They're on academic welfare. What do you think it is? You think their research is so important that they deserve grants to go and study cow's testicles in Burma? Or to go study you know, horse sperm in Thailand? No. Okay, so there we are. 1-800-449-8255. Tampa, Florida. Vince, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
The reason that we haven't heard about this space program is because the genius, the execution, and the success cannot be tied to any minority group in this country. And I think he's become so polarizing and divisive. And on the other hand, when the Olympians come home, you'll see the tennis player, you'll see the gymnast, you'll see the track athletes, the basketball players.
Oh, did you see the degenerate? Did you see the low-life degenerate musicians like Chris Rock debasing the White House and what they did inside the White House, how it was hushed up and how the video was squashed right after they went in there and trashed the White House? I know this man has debased America and the White House. Don't get me started. I have to control myself every day because I don't understand how dumb the American people are.
That'll be the red meat he throws at the liberal for patriotism, the athletes.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, and I think enough has been said. You're right. That's right. What is this now? German weightlifter drops 432-pound barbell on his head and walks away. Well, he's German. I mean, I'm sorry. That should have been a symbol shot. No, it's an amazing story. Defending weightlifting gold medalist Matthias Steiner walked away from a terrifying incident Tuesday when he dropped a barbell weighing 432 pounds on his neck. The German was attempting to snatch 196 kg when his knees and arms buckled, causing the massive barbell to fall on top of his head. Steiner collapsed under the barbell and instantaneously flopped while its mass bent his neck and head. He was saluted by the crowd and walked off under his own power. It just shows you that, you know what I'm saying? German food, there's a lot going for it. No, that's awful. A guy could have been killed. That's amazing. What a powerful guy. Good God. I should get those pictures up on the website. German weightlifter drops 430 pounds and walks away. I think I'm going to go have some German beer tonight. Maybe that'll help me tomorrow. 1-800-449-8255. I've got a couple of callers on the Petraeus story, which is very intriguing. Is he a good choice or a bad choice? What do you think about that? David in Florida, do you think General Petraeus would be a good VP candidate or a bad one for Mr. Romney?
Personally, I think he's a top-notch man for Mr. Romney, sir. He's a military man, and that's what we need in the White House now. We need another General Patton in this country of ours, sir. The Russians and the Chinese are getting their act together, and we definitely need someone that knows the military, their minds, of our adversaries.
And by the way, Petraeus is not a Patton type. He's extremely politically correct because that's the only way you can advance to a generalship in our country for the last 20 years, let alone the last two or three, rather. But nevertheless, he is a fabulous human being. If you look at Petraeus's accomplishments, they're quite something to look to behold. The man is very brilliant. He's also very brave, incidentally. And I think he would be a good VP choice myself. I think it would also emphasize Romney's interest in national security, because Obama has no interest in national security. Look who his VP is, Joseph the Water Gun Biden. So I think that if you compare Joseph the Water Gun Biden to General Petraeus, there's no question in my mind that Petraeus balances out the Romney ticket and makes him certainly stronger rather than weaker as a candidate. It's certainly a better choice than Mush, you know what I'm saying, or even Hush, or certainly Petraeus would be a better choice than the piano player. Miss Rice, no disrespect intended, I mean, but what does she bring to the party other than neutrality? Petraeus does not bring neutrality. He brings something stronger than that. I'll be right back right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity.
Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's some of the audio that we culled for you today from around the world. Here's Obama accusing Romney of raising taxes.
Governor Romney's plan would effectively raise taxes on middle-class families with children by an average of $2,000 to pay for this tax cut. He'd ask the middle class to pay more in taxes so that he could give another $250,000 tax cut to people making more than $3 million a year. It's like Robin Hood in reverse. It's Romney Hood.
And here's Hillary dancing.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Now, can I put one on like you have over there?
Is John Boehner, remember him? The smoker with a pink tie? Yeah, that guy. He says Obama's never had a real job.
The president's policies have failed. Listen, 93% of Americans believe they're part of the middle class. That's why you hear the president talking about the middle class every day, because he's talking to 93% of the American people. But the president has never created a job. He's never even had a real job, for God's sakes. I can tell you in my dealings with him, he has no idea how the real world that we live in actually works, and no idea that his tax increase that he's calling for will affect over a million small business owners. People like myself in the old days, and according to Ernst & Young, cost our economy 750,000 new jobs.
McCain really got wild and crazy. He said Harry Reid might have gone over the line on Romney. Wow, John, that's really visceral of you.
First of all, I've known Senator Reid for many, many years, and occasionally he displays some rather erratic behavior to accuse someone of doing something without a shred of proof that the allegation has any substance is really something I frankly don't understand. Politics are tough, and I enjoy the give and take, but I think Harry might have gone over the line here.
Here's some very good Mars landing audio, and I'm not talking about the candy bar.
And liftoff of the Atlas V with Curiosity.
8 months after liftoff and 154 million miles from Earth, NASA stuck the landing. The one-ton rover called Curiosity now sits inside a crater on the planet Mars, already sending back some of its first images and ready to conduct scientific tests over the next 2 years about the viability of life.
Curiosity, the most sophisticated rover ever built, is now on the surface of the red planet, where it will seek to answer age-old questions about whether life ever existed there on Mars.
We touched down in conditions that were on the more benign side of our nominal expectation. And it looks, at least by my eyeball, that we landed in a nice, flat spot. Beautiful. Really beautiful.
If anybody has been harboring doubts about the status of U.S. leadership in space, well, there's a one-ton automobile-sized piece of American ingenuity.
And finally, Nancy Pelosi, calling Republicans the E. coli club. No comment, Nancy. Do you know what E. coli is, Nancy, and where it comes from? How would you know that, Nancy?
As a mom, I was vigilant about food safety, right, moms? I mean, if you could depend on the government for one thing, it was about you had to be able to trust the water that our kids drank and the food that they ate. But this is the E. coli club. They do not want to spend money to do that.
Here are some of the questions we've been talking about from the Savage Nation today. Why do you think people like Woody Allen, Alec Baldwin, Sean Penn, and other left-wing fanatics hate America so much? Here's an interesting question. If you are a Jewish woman, do you like or dislike Woody Allen's portrayal of Jewish men? What twisted psychology causes those like Woody Allen and Sean Penn to support dictatorships? Is it because they're dictators on movie sets? I mean, what is it? We're talking now about the oil refinery fire across from the bay here in Richmond, California. Do you think it was sabotage or just an accident? How would you ever know? Do you think that oil refineries are well protected enough? I don't. Do you fear a terrorist attack on an oil refinery in America? I do. I don't think that they're protected well, and I think the National Guard should be around every oil refinery. Here's the latest news from MichaelSavage.com and other sites. President of Syria surfaces on TV with an Iranian diplomat at his side, vowing to defeat the rebels, which Iran calls international enemies. That's interesting. So now we know which side we should be on, I guess. Let's see. Iran is on the side of the rebels. We're against Assad. I can't figure that one out. Sorry, it's too convoluted. It's too arabesque for me. Attack ad links Romney to the death of a steelworker's wife. Oh, my God. Rover. NASA rover sends back its first color image of Mars. We're not talking about the Land Rover. The NASA rover. Retirees to get less in Social Security benefits than taxes they paid in. Grapefruit juice boosts drugs' anti-cancer effects. That's interesting. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know, but some news stuff is very interesting. It's a great business to be in. You can go crazy reading all this stuff. Sean Payne campaigns for Hugo Chavez. That's it. He's a new name now, Sean Payne. The opposite of champagne, Sean Payne. My headline, Woody Allen brings rats to paradise. I'll tell you more about that. This is on MichaelSavage.com. Rover sends back pictures. Nancy Pelosi says the GOP is the E. coli club. That's disgusting, Nancy. Get your head out of the sewer. Top left, number two on the Wall Street Journal's bestseller list, the one book you need to tell your friends and neighbors how to stop the communist Obama before we lose all of our constitutional rights. That is my great work. Trickle-Down Tyranny. I'm counting on you to buy it before the election. Cop at Sikh Temple shooting continued despite multiple wounds. What a hero. Neighborhood overrun by protected birds. No comment. Pastor jailed for at-home Bible study. In marriage, fighting Trump's niceness, says a new study. G-rated films cause early sex, according to Fox Scientific Studies. The connection between films and early sex, duh. Really, there's a connection between films and violence, films and early sex, films and smoking. They're impressionable. That's what movies are. Sean Payne campaigns for Hugo Chavez. The latest stories right here, of course, on the one and only Savage Nation. News is breaking by the moment. Obama says Romney wants Petraeus as a vice president. I think that's a good idea. Would David Petraeus be a good VP for Romney? How about Jimmy Carter as a VP for Obama? That would be good. All this and more. Well, how about Harvey Weinstein as the VP for Obama? Harvey Weinstein for president of the Film Actors Guild. I'll be right back right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on. Before I go, you know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Chick-fil-A spokesman dies suddenly. You know, I don't even know what Chick-fil-A is, but apparently the godfather of Chicago has taken umbrage with this chicken chain for reasons I don't even know, but the poor chief spokesman dropped dead of a heart attack. Nice man, middle-aged man, wife, three sons, grandchild, dies of a heart attack. Whatever happened to free speech? What did the Chick-fil-A stand do or company that made the godfather of Rahm Emanuel condemn them from the podium of the mayorship of Chicago? I don't even know what he said. Listen what else is going on in your insane country under Obama. Because of the meanness, because of the intolerance, because of the viciousness of the psychopaths on the left, here's a question for you. Do crosses at Catholic University violate the human rights of Muslims? Now, such a question on the face of it is insane. But Muslims are saying a cross at a Catholic university violates the human rights. Who do you think put that in the Muslims' heads? The ACLU. Air Force removes God from logo. Obama leaves God out of Thanksgiving address. School removes God from song. Rahm Emanuel says Chick-fil-A values are not Chicago values. Anti-bullying speaker, you know what they are, the most bullying people on the planet. Anti-bullying speaker curses Christian teens. And finally today, elderly woman told she can't fly the American flag. Is this the country that you want to live in? Is this the country that you think your ancestors fought for? Is this what this has come to, that violent left-wing psychopaths have destroyed freedom of speech? And I'm supposed to focus on the Olympics. The Summer Olympics take place every 4 years. Do you care about the Olympics? Would you watch or tune out? I mean, I'm sure at some point I'll see somebody doing something. I'm not one of these people waiting to see it. Is anyone waiting for the Olympics and why? How many Olympics can we watch in our lifetime? It's like elections by now. They seem to go on at all times forever, 24/7. There's always an election going on. There's always a circus going on. Are the Olympics anything more than a massive international circus? Meant to distract the public while the leftist global elite keeps feeding at the trough and stealing our rights? It's unbelievable to me. There are a lot of other stories. I mean, we haven't yet dropped the sewer pipe of Hollywood, which has twisted our culture of it when Harvey Weinstein calls for gun control. And I said what we need is Weinstein control, not gun control. Symbol shot. I mean, I think that we need Spielberg control, not gun control. I think, there you go. I think we need Weinstein control, not gun control. Yes, now you got it. I think we need sewer pipe cleaning instead of gun control. All right, I think we made the point. It's just been revealed that the Colorado mass murderer was seeing a university psychiatrist prior to the shooting. Now, who do you blame? The shrink? I can't blame the shrink. Their profession is given over to total acceptance and total tolerance. You have to understand the mindset of a shrink. Anyone in the healing professions, meaning psychiatrist, psychologist, lay therapist, whatever, their entire field is given over to non-judgmentalism. So if a guy comes in and says, oh, I'm having fantasies about shooting up a movie theater and killing people, she'll ask him if his father exposed himself to him when he was 2 years old. Well, he'll say, did your mother do something to you? Come back in three. Well, let's say I'll see you for three. I have three sessions. Come back in 2 months. They make no value judgments. The whole society has been taken out of the church and into the psychiatrist chair, which is why we've fallen apart. See, when there are no values, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, etc., then anything is possible, and then we have America today. And, of course, that's why we're living through this psychosis that we have today, where a Muslim would have the nerve, the audacity to attend the Catholic University and say that the cross violates my human rights. 1-800-449-8255. Chick-fil-A spokesman dies of a heart attack. The president of Chick-fil-A exercises his constitutional rights. He expresses views an overwhelming majority of Americans have upheld at the ballot box, by the way. See, every state that has put on the ballot gay marriage has been knocked down in, I think it's 17 states. So this guy expresses his opinion, and suddenly the mayor of Chicago says he's an anti-American. And the poor spokesman, who probably, no one ever heard of Chick-fil-A before this, except people who eat there. If there was one here, I'd go try the chicken now. Is there a difference between one chicken stand and another? I personally eat a lot of chicken. I don't like this stuff, but it's the only thing available in supermarkets that I can generally eat that's hot. Safeway has a good chicken. The local market has a bad chicken. Safeway has for $5-6, you know, if you're hungry, you go into a Safeway, you get a hot chicken, you get a potato, you got a dinner. What more do you need? Unbelievable. What's this over the chicken thing, Chick-fil-A? The guy probably never had such pressure in his life. If he lived 1 minute in my shoes, he would have been dead at 13.
Savage.
You know, as we get closer to the election, the hatred from the left is getting worse. The attacks against Romney are coming faster and faster. One of the loudest and most vile of them on the left is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who seems to take it upon herself to spread as much hatred and misinformation about Romney as possible. Joining us on the Savage Nation to take a look into this is Florida congressional candidate Joe Kaufman.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
What is she doing here? Why is she like this?
Well, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who I'm running against down here in South Florida, her rhetoric is off the charts. She talks about how Mitt Romney is somehow throwing seniors out of the nursing homes, yet it is she herself who voted to cut Medicare $500 billion. Now, there's no evidence whatsoever to suggest that Governor Romney is going, as president, is going to do any harm to seniors. But Debbie Wasserman Schultz herself has shown that she is willing to do harm to seniors by cutting Medicare hundreds of billions of dollars.
She's approved Obama's job numbers?
Well, you know, she talks about how Obama's stimulus plan has created jobs and all that, but it has actually done the exact opposite. In fact, it seems like every single job plan that President Obama has tried to push forward has done the opposite of creating jobs. It's actually created more unemployment. In fact, since Obama has been in office, we've had the largest unemployment rate in decades in the United States. But if Debbie Wasserman Schultz were here in her own district, going and visiting the shop owners, the small business owners, seeing how they've been losing their employees, how they've been having to lay off their employees in order to hire somebody to do paperwork, unnecessary regulations, and their neighbors have shut down completely. How some of these shopping centers look like ghost towns in Debbie Wasserman Schultz district. If she were here to actually see what's going on, maybe she'd have a different opinion. Except now she's roaming around the country trying to raise money as DNC chair. She can't do both jobs at once, and that's why I'm going to defeat her this coming November.
How can this liar say the stimulus worked?
No, it's since the stimulus plan was passed, we've lost jobs. Unemployment has gone up. So it's the exact opposite. Unfortunately, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she'll go on television and she'll look the American public with a straight face and lie to the American public. But the truth is that everybody knows people are suffering today. People are losing jobs. People are having trouble putting, food on the table and getting any type of money to help with their lives or their families' lives. People understand that America is suffering. And when Debbie Wasserman Schultz is trying to fool the public and telling them something like this, that he somehow helped with the job situation and that a stimulus plan has somehow worked, all she's doing is lying to the public. And I'm going to expose her for these lies.
Well, the left wing always says the right wing uses scare tactics. What's new about that?
Well, Debbie does do, she does create a lot of these scare tactics herself. The Washington Post itself, and this is no bastion of conservatism, called Debbie Wasserman Schultz a scaremonger, said that she's pushing, quote, bogus claims. They gave her three Pinocchios, I believe, a short time ago. But she no doubt, when Paul Ryan came out with his courageous budget plan to move the economy along, the Democrats had a chance to respond. And what was their response? Higher taxes for those that they call wealthy, really the people that create jobs inside the United States. And after he came out with his budget, it was Debbie Wasserman Schultz herself that came out the next day and started screaming about how the Republicans are trying to destroy Medicare and Social Security. All those Republicans that wanted to support Paul Ryan, they had their desks when they heard Debbie Wasserman Schultz, because she scared them as she scared the Florida seniors and America's seniors. It's wrong what she's dangerous for America, and we need to expose her.
Well, do you think the people are buying it, Joe?
The American public, listen, day after day I hear from the constituents of District 23 about how when they see Debbie Wasserman Schultz on television, they want to turn the channel, or they want to change the channel, because they understand that her rhetoric is not true, and that she's lying to the public. I can't find many people that say that they like or would love Debbie Wasserman Schultz. It's the exact opposite. So the public doesn't like being told lies. The public wants to know the truth. When the Board of Trustees of Medicare and Social Security came out and said that it's better to take care of the programs now than to wait later, at least people like Paul Ryan had a plan. But Debbie, she does even more than, most congressmen, they ignore the situation until it's irreparable. Debbie does even worse than that. She creates such fear that it stops congressmen from trying to figure out solutions to problems. And so she's doing a lot of harm to this country. She's doing a lot of harm to her district. She's doing a lot of harm to the working people of America. The Obama administration, with their policies, really destroyed the middle class of the United States, forced large businesses to go overseas, forced small businesses to shut down in the U.S. When the Democrats say that they're for helping the middle class, it's a lie. In reality, the Democrats are destroying the middle class by sending business elsewhere and by destroying small business inside the U.S.
Where can we read more?
Well, you can go to www.kaufmanforcongress.com. That's K-A-U-F-M-A-N. forcongress.com, and they can donate their time or money. Really, we need to win against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We need new leadership in Washington, D.C., leadership that's going to going to create solutions for problems, not ignore problems. Really, we need the entire Congress to, or a good part of the Congress to change. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the first to go.
Joe Kaufman, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. I appreciate it.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Has anyone ever eaten Chick-fil-A? I don't know what it is. Is it a chain only in Chicago? Can they now roll out across America with the publicity? Certainly not in San Francisco. Chick-fil-A would be banned in San Francisco, that's for sure. Yeah, let's not make any dirty jokes here. But the Chick-fil-A cannot come to San Francisco. Went to church with chicken. I knew I'd get chicken callers. No, there's no Olympic callers. I'm in a bizarre mood. I'm in a bizarre mood because here I go again. Again, so I'm a little bizarre because I don't particularly like flying. It's not fear of flying. It's the upset, leaving the dog. I missed the dog already in advance. I feel like something was ripped out of my heart before I'm even gone. Do you ever get that feeling that it's called Weltschmerz in German? And it's a feeling of overwhelming loss, even though there's no loss. It's like a sadness. Every time I go on a trip, I get sad before I leave. Why? It's like closets full of clothing I don't even wear. I miss it already. No, it's a funny thing. Like, I walk around my house, a little house, right? I see all these pants and shirts pregnant with expectation, all neatly pressed, hanging from hangers. I know I'm never going to wear most of them. I wear the same clothing almost every day, and then I switch and wash it and wear another. I don't get dressed up. I'm not Donald Trump. I'm not a tie and suit kind of guy. I hang out by myself, but the thing is, just leaving my clothing in the closet disturbs me. I have a lot of trouble packing because I don't know what to take and what to leave. So you have a choice, either leave everything and take nothing, or then you start saying, well, what should I leave? I don't know what I'm going to do there. I don't like being alone. Horrible. There's a limit to how much you can be alone. I'm going to sit here and, what, click the channels at night, and there's going to be another Olympic screaming. I don't want to see it anymore. Who's watching the Olympics and why? Why does anyone watch that? Why does anybody watch the Olympics? I don't understand. You haven't seen enough Olympics for the rest of your life? How many shot puts can you see? How many times can you see them getting excited over this? Why do people like this kind of stuff? All right, I admit I'm not a normal person in that regard. I'm not an average, normal sports nut. There are people who are intelligent, I understand. There are people who I understand graduated the 7th, 8th grade even who watch sports. Some even allegedly went to high school and they still watch sports. I don't understand it myself, but look, I accept it. It's a big world, 5, 6 billion people by now. And a lot of them seem to get excited by it. It's mainly kind of a third world thing. I would, honest to God, I think that the lower your education, the higher your interest in sports. I haven't done an actual study. Is that sacrilegious that I insult a few million people by accident just now? Yeah, I didn't mean to. It's absolutely not intended. But let me explain the business I'm in. Let me explain the thin line I'm in. I read you the headlines, didn't I? So the business I am in is such that the minute I say hello, I alienate half the audience. 50% of the people listen to the show waiting to be insulted. The other 50% like me an awful lot. So whatever I say will attract tremendous reactions, both pro and con. That's the thin line that I walk on. So isn't that what free speech is all about? How many times have I told you that the entire intent of free speech is to, in other words, if you're not saying something that agitates people, then you may as well not say it at all. Then you're not really speaking your mind. You're being polite, which is okay. It's okay to be polite. But if you're in the area of commentary, which I'm in, if you are not getting people angry, some people angry, then what's the point of being in the area of commentary? Then you're not using the First Amendment. The First Amendment was made to protect speech that agitates people. Don't you understand that? That free speech means that speech will, by definition, agitate some people who don't agree with you, and that's what the First Amendment is for. I'm trying to educate America. It's almost impossible with the dumbness out there. The morons who sit in a movie theater with 3D glasses inside their head, born with 3D glasses behind their retinas, born to sit in the seat and listen to what the garbage that's put out by those who manufacture the sewage. Just born. So if I say things that please some and offend others, I'm exercising my First Amendment right. Isn't that correct? Do I have to remind you that if people are offended by anything that they hear, that's too darn bad? That we live in a free country. We don't live in the ex-Soviet Union. We don't live in North Korea where you get shot for insulting the president. Or is that the country you would like to live in? If so, then I suggest you become a member of MSNBC's new Stormtroopers, because obviously MSNBC believes in no free speech. They never have anybody on who disagrees with them. Look what happened to CNN. You didn't even hear about that. They fired the president. Why did they do it? Because most morons who are watching, or media watchers already, their mind is on some girl in a pair of shorts running in London. You're crazy. They fired the head of CNN. Why they fire him? They're so biased to the left that no one watches the channel anymore. Nobody watches it. Nobody to speak of.
I think I know the answer to this, but how many times have you been in love in your life, properly in love?
Properly in love?
Yeah.
Once.
This was only the only woman for you ever?
This is the only woman I fell in love with. I mean, I was a senior in high school, for Pete's sake, so I fell in love with Anne. Hook, line, and sinker, she caught me, and I was lucky enough to bring her into my life, and we've been in love ever since.
And the same for you?
Amazing.
This is my true love.
All right, it's enough already. That's all I can tell. I'm a little cynical. No, I believe him, though. The thing is, there are people who feel that way. It's like Ozzy and Harriet, which is incredible. I'm thrilled that we're about to have a real American couple again in the White House, in my opinion. Now, why do I say real American couple? I know that's offensive to many of you Obama worshippers. Let's go back in time. We don't know where Obama was born, even though there's a rigged up birth certificate or there isn't one. We don't know whether he's a Christian or a Muslim or an agnostic or an atheist. We don't really know. Michelle Obama, God bless her soul, said, "This is the first time I'm happy to be an American," when her husband became president. You know, these things kind of stick in your mind. The bowing to every foreign dictator. You know, these kind of things tend not to leave your memory too quickly. So when we get an Ozzy and Harriet into the White House, you know how they're going to be ridiculed by the vermin on the left. You know, do you have any idea what this is going to do to the Hollywood crowd? A couple married with five great sons with grandchildren. No divorce, no affairs. They can't dig anything up on them because they're too clean. Do you have any idea what an affront this is to Katzenberg, and Spielberg? Do you have any idea what this does to Weinstein, Katzenberg, and Spielberg? Do you have any idea what this does to them? Their entire structure is threatened by the Ozzy and Harriet Romney couple. So, you know, it's going to be quite a time after they win. The Queen parachutes in. I don't understand the Olympics myself. I do know they're super people with regard to ability to do things, mainly with balls and running. I don't quite. It's so out of my. I know it sounds like I'm a little bit of a pinhead here. An egghead. Call me what you want. I have one foot in the blue-collar world, one foot in the academic world, and my third foot in the spiritual world, my invisible third foot in the invisible spiritual world. I have one foot deeply rooted into the spiritual world and one in the blue-collar world and one in the egghead world. I really do. So yeah, I can saw a piece of wood. I was sawing a dowel the other day with a saw I have in my garage. And I was thinking of my father's been dead 40 years. He taught me how to saw a piece of wood. Do you realize that Obama could not saw a piece of wood? I would wager a guess that 70% of those in Congress could not saw a piece of wood or turn a screw into a door without slipping and cutting their finger. I would imagine, like, let's take Barney Frank, who's no longer there. If you gave him a screwdriver and you said you have to screw that into the wall, the screwdriver would likely slip and puncture his finger, the other finger on the other hand. I don't know what it is. None of this is moving me today. Maybe I should move up to the 70s, maybe. We have any 70s, 80s music? I like disco music lately in the car. There's a certain lightness to it. Who's the guy with the hair plugs who got in trouble with the massage guys? I feel bad for him, true. He has so much trouble in his life. He didn't need this late in his life. What's his name? I know, I'm joking. It's my gimmick. When I play disco music in the car, I'm suddenly transformed to John Travolta as a young man in tight pants dancing. Then he was in L.A. Confidential. No, he was in a Psycho movie. The crazy, killing, disgusting. I hated that movie. I never got images out of my head from some movies. To this day, I'm disturbed by certain images I've seen in movies. I can go way back. The first horrible image in my head that I still can't erase and show you the power of movies, you'll never believe it. Samson and Delilah, Victor Mature, being tormented by the midgets with the nets and the poker. Samson, look at that movie. See, it was a funny thing. Samson and Delilah, the original version, I don't know, early 50s. Victor Mature plays Samson, and he's blinded with the hot coals. They throw nets on him, and then they get the dwarfs to poke him with, poke him with pokers, hot pokers, before he knocks down the Roman temple. That image I can't get out of my mind. Now, Victor Mature, by today's standards, would be laughable. You know, the pecs were hanging. It was awful. The guy looked like he needed a lot of work on the upper body. But in those days, that was considered a good body. Today, if you looked at him, it would never pass. The age of the muscle man in movies didn't really originate till the 60s. Like around Schwarzenegger's time is when you first saw muscled bodies in the movies. But I'm talking the decade before that, they got away with murder. The grandfathers of Spielberg type. The fathers of Spielberg, even though his father was a bomber pilot and an American, a patriotic American, I'm saying the movie father of Weinstein. Weinstein's movie father, symbolically, would have been able to book, let's say, a Jewish guy from Brooklyn as a Navajo, which they did regularly, incidentally. You look back at 50s movies of Indians, they were all Jewish guys from Brooklyn that they came out from the candy store with. They put feathers on the head. No one seemed to know the difference. It's amazing to me. There was such a lack of sophistication in the audiences, in the theaters in those days. Today, they're very sophisticated. Look at the amount of filth and violence they want.